The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 14 degrees at the Loyola campus at Concordia University. I'm Aaron Azarian, and here are today's headlines. A PQ candidate stays in the race despite Islamophobic comments. Ramping up relief for Fiona victims. And fears we may be headed for a recession. A PQ candidate accused of making anti-Islamist statements has apologized, but she has clarified what she meant. That's good enough for the PQ leader who is allowing her to stay as a candidate. But is it good enough for other Quebecers? Our reporter, Mirialine Katoul, looked into it for us.
A member from the Muslim community, Satin Lilzoubi, was surprised by the statement made by the candidate. She felt like Quebec politics do not consider the diversity of the province. Hear what she has to say about it.
They are not taking into consideration the fact that we live in a very multicultural society with different religions, and what they are doing, it's not helping neither their political ambitions, nor the communities of minorities that are living in.
On the other hand, a political analyst, Harold Chorney, agreed with her statement.
Well, it makes Quebec look backward.
Voters will get a chance to show if they agreed with her statement next Monday. I'm Mirialine Katoul, Concordia News.
Today marks the two-year anniversary of the passing of 37-year-old mother Joyce Eshakwan. Eshakwan was the victim of racial abuse from hospital staff during her last moments. But how do Indigenous communities feel about the healthcare system 2 years later? Dylan Bosanakis had an interview with the editor of the Indigenous newspaper, The Eastern Door, Steve Bonspiel, to discuss this issue. And he says a lot of work still needs to be done to rebuild trust in the system.
You know, there's a lot of mistrust. There's a lot of, we know that there's institutional racism. We see it every day. And, you know, for somebody like Francois Legault to say that doesn't exist in Quebec is total BS. It exists, and you should ask the people who experience it. So, you know, we don't have confidence in it. We always expect to be treated poorly, you know. So it's too bad it's like that, because you'd like to be able to go to the hospital and get the care you deserve, no matter what color you are. But it's a completely different story for Indigenous people here in Quebec.
Have you noticed a change in how the medical system treats Indigenous patients over the last 2 years?
I mean, I haven't personally. Luckily, I haven't in the hospital, but I think that, you know, I hear things of, like, things changing, of you know, them trying, like, hospitals themselves or you know, even maybe managers or individuals trying to be better. But it has to be tackled to the point where if somebody's doing something like what happened to Joyce, which was like the worst case scenario, she lost her life. There has to be bigger consequences. They have to be called out quicker. They have to be, those things have to be identified earlier. So, you know, we don't end up in death, you know? So if we nip them in the bud early enough, you might save people's lives. So I think as much as there has been changes, there's a whole lot more work to do.
Finally, how do you think we as Canadians can avoid situations like the treatment of Joyce Eshakwan that happened 2 years ago?
It has to be pervasive in all facets of society. So it has to be in our education system. It has to be in the healthcare system. It has to be, you know, in politics, anywhere we go. And, you know, we have to understand each other's differences and embrace it instead of trying to treat each other differently. And especially, I did a lecture yesterday at Concordia, especially the Indigenous peoples of this land, we were here first. This is our homeland. We have nowhere to go. You know, so why are we treated so poorly in our own homeland? And that's the toughest part. Is like, there's not enough education that's been happening. The system hasn't been moving fast enough to understand our needs better and to change things. And we're always hopeful of it, but it's not us that has to change. It's mainstream society.
Laval police have halted the rise in the violence of the use of firearms. The strategy implemented by Service de Police de Laval has made it possible to tackle the issues of urban violence that are rampant in the city of Laval. There has been a 52% decrease in shootings in the city in the past year. It looks like Montreal may finally be developing the old Bonnets racetracks Indeed, the land near the end of Jean Talon and Dakary has been vacant ever since its closing in 2009. The city is now hoping to build affordable housing on the old site and is now accepting applications for what they call the Namur Hippodrome. Our reporter, Gabrielle Perrière-Leblanc, is on site right now. Gabrielle, what does it look like?
Hi, Era. Well, I'm here right now standing in what used to be the racetrack quite a long time ago. What I can see right now is just a lot of fields, like kilometers of field, and it's surrounded by like metal, which like I used to assume like used to be tracks, but it got replaced. Like if I didn't just walk down from Dakary right now, I would think I'm somewhere far in Quebec. Like this kind of looks like the country a little bit. And a lot of truckers, I feel like the road right now that used to lead up to it is just being used like as a shortcut to go from Dakary to Jean Talon. Like you can use it as a shortcut if you have a car. And that's pretty much us. I feel like I'm standing in a field. So lots of potential here for affordable housing, especially considering Montreal's housing crisis.
You mentioned affordable housing. What do social housing groups have to say about this project?
Well, FRAPRU, Organisation Genèse, and the FOSHM, Fédération des OSPL d'Habitation de Montréal, are all non-profit housing organizations that spoke out and demanded action for this site. For example, Darby McDonald, a community organizer for Projet Genèse, pointed out that there haven't problems in Côte des Neiges for so long now in this area that I'm right now, and they need responding to. They need government officials to address them. So housing groups are hoping government officials are just listening because there's so much potential here to build something.
It's not the first time anyone has tried to build something there, is it?
No, indeed. Just in 2013, Montreal's former mayor, Gérard Tremblay, proposed to include the Blue Bonnet track as part of his development site. But as we know, Gérard Tremblay is no longer the mayor and nothing has still not yet been done. So maybe by this time it'll be done. The site right now is now being sold for only $4 million when it's worth $20 million. So they're kind of selling it for cheap. I'm guessing hoping to get to get it on the market and to get it going. And yeah, so it's a see.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Relief efforts in response to the effects of Hurricane Fiona, assistance from provinces, and cost of damages is still to be discussed. Connor Tumulty has this story.
600 members of the Canadian military have been deployed to join relief efforts in response to Hurricane Fiona, as informed by Minister of Defense Anita Anand. At the press conference on Wednesday, September 28th, Canadian Minister of Industry François-Philippe Champagne relayed the information that it was on both the eastern provinces to estimate damage costs and the federal government to meet these costs.
Where the government of Canada can contribute financially in partnership with provinces to indemnify those who suffered losses.
From a Quebec standpoint, Red Cross volunteers have been sent to provide assistance. One Red Cross affiliate from the Verdun location informed us that.
Thank you. Because for in Quebec, it was mostly in Magdalen Islands.
Quebec Prime Minister François Legault made the trek to Des Îles de la Madeleine yesterday. Minister Legault emphasized the impact that comes from climate change and its apparency through Hurricane Fiona and its devastating rain over eastern Canada. The Île de la Madeleine experienced this climatic effects with damages seen around Minister Legault when he spoke. Connor Tomalty, Concordia News.
Teachers were protesting today about how action has not been taken about education. They aren't satisfied with conditions as there are too many students in classrooms. There is not enough service. There has to be action taken place. They want their voices to be heard as they stand outside the Palais de Congrès while Premier Legault was having a conference. It's getting harder for people to live in Montreal, according to a BMO quarterly study. 81% of people are concerned about a potential recession and inflation. Andreas Antoine has been reviewing the study and joins us live. So, Andreas, according to the study, people are worried about the increasingly challenging time to live in Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. According to Robert Frank, a political analyst, and going over the study, there seems to be an influx in liquidity over the last 2 years, and that has created inflationary pressures on the economy. Since COVID, a lot of Canadian residents have been getting cash, and that's flooded the market. And now more than 75% of Canadians are alarmed with the rise of grocery and gas prices. I spoke to political analyst Robert Frank, and he says you cannot exactly pinpoint when the recession is going to hit, but he has more to say.
The thing that we know is that we're in different economic territory than we ever have been, with central banks, all, not just in Canada, but all over the world, vastly expanding their balance.
What is the study telling us?
It's essentially telling us what consumers fear. Overwhelmingly, there's a lot of fear within consumers. 80% of them are fearful about a recession. 75% are scared about inflation prices. 77% of Canadians say they're making lifestyle changes, such as not buying expensive items, and unfortunately going to have to cut back on holiday spending.
If you're a consumer, the effect of a recession is to knock a little bit of the stuffing out of the economy so that prices go down a bit. And when prices go down, people can buy more. And that has a tendency to offset the recession.
Is there any tips or tricks consumers can do to save a buck or two?
Yes, actually, there's a couple. One, it's to reduce your debt. So cash is going to be scarce and prices are going to go down. So your cash will go further in the future. And if prices do not go down, the banks should be offering higher increase in interest rates, and you might want to take advantage.
Thanks, Andreas. That was Andreas Antoine on the potential recession in Canada. October is creeping up on us, and with it comes the release of the highly anticipated Hocus Pocus 2. Another big splash in Hollywood is the evolving backlash to Netflix's monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story. The internet is in a firestorm over YouTube sensation's years-long cover-up of extramarital affairs. Zach Fortier has your arts and entertainment news.
Lock up your children! Yes, Salem, we're back!
Whip out your jack-o'-lanterns and grab the candy corn. Halloween season is here. The sequel to the 1993 classic Hocus Pocus premiered last night. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy will reprise their iconic roles as the Anderson sisters. Set for release on Disney Plus September 30th, Hocus Pocus 2 has already received rave reviews from critics. The witches will face the modern world, dealing with all the technological advances since the 1990s.
This is out of control! Look at me! Look at me, motherfucker!
Netflix's monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, has caused quite a stir in the past week. Viewers have once again brought up accusations of racism and homophobia from the Milwaukee Police Department in the cases involving serial killer Jeffrey Dahmer. Most of his victims were gay men of color. The former defense attorney who personally prosecuted Dahmer, Michael McCann, defended the police, saying that there was no dismissal of victims' voices because of their race or orientation. The debate still rages. YouTube megastars The Try Guys are in hot water over social media accusations causing a firestorm. Ned Fulmer, a cast member known for his family-oriented persona, has been exposed having multiple extramarital affairs. Fulmer has since been dropped from The Try Guys, forcing the group to restructure. According to sources making accusations, the three other members of the group knew about the affairs for years, saying nothing. Don't trust just anyone you see on screen, folks.
Thank you, Zach. Today marks the 50-year anniversary of Paul Henderson's historic hockey goal scored on September 28, 1972 against the Soviet Union in Game 8 of the Summit Series, winning it for Canada. It's one of the most famous goals in the sport, especially in Canadian hockey history. You can expect to see cloudy skies throughout the day with a warmer temperature than we've been experiencing the last couple of days. The rest of the week is expected to have a mixture of clouds and sun, but plenty of sunshine on the weekend with a toasty high of 18 on Saturday. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Aaron Azari.